Lord God, may the words of our mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in Thy sight. Lord, may we sense Your presence. Calm our anxiety. Calm my anxiety. So that I might preach what You would have me to preach. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Our scripture this morning comes from 1 Timothy, the first chapter, the 12th through the 17th verses. Hear now the Word of God. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength because He considered me faithful. So He appointed me to ministry, even though I used to speak against Him, attack His people, and I was proud. But I was shown mercy, because I acted in ignorance and without faith. Our Lord's favor poured all over me along with the faithfulness and love that are in Christ Jesus. This saying is reliable and deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I'm the biggest sinner of all. But this is why I was shown mercy, so that Christ Jesus could show His endless patience to me first of all. So I'm an example for those who are going to believe in Him for eternal life. Now to the King of the ages, to the immortal, invisible, and only God, may honor and glory be given to Him forever and always. Amen. This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Do y'all like to get letters in the mail? Handwritten letters? Not junk mail. Does it warm your heart when you get a letter in the mail? It does me. I really enjoy getting letters in the mail. I have always enjoyed getting letters in the mail. When I was a little boy, my dad would go to the post office and get the mail. He would bring it back, and I would always ask him, "Did I get any mail?" And he would say, "Do you know anybody who can write?" I knew some people who could write, but I didn't know any who would write me. So that was my dilemma. But I have always loved getting mail. It just is something about it. And over the years, I have gotten drawers and boxes full of notes and cards that I cherish. One day, my children are going to do what I did for my parents. I'm going to sit there and they're going to read those cards and letters and throw them away. And I hope that somewhere in the midst of that, they will be touched by them as much as I have been touched by them, because they have made my day. They have made my day and my hours sometimes when you just needed a word of encouragement. You see, I don't know if I do that real well with emails, because I lose emails. I'll make a mistake and not put it in a folder. I hit delete. Y'all ever done that? And that thing that you wanted to keep is no longer keepable. It's gone. This letter that Paul has written to Timothy is a letter of encouragement. We first hear about Timothy when we read in Acts 16. Paul had been on a missionary journey with Barnabas, a good friend of his. And they did good work. But while they were on their trip, one of their traveling companions decided either he was sick or homesick or whatever, and he decided he needed to go home. So he went home. So as Paul and Barnabas are planning their next journey, it comes to the point where they're figuring out who's going to go with them, and Barnabas says, "I think John Mark needs to go again." And Paul said, "Not on your life. He goes, I'm not going," or something of that nature. Maybe it was that when John Mark left, all the supplies that John Mark was taking, they had to divide among the others, and Paul had to take what John Mark was supposed to, and his back is still hurting. John Mark is a pain in the back. I don't know. But they decided to split up. Paul takes Silas, and Barnabas takes John Mark. And they head back to the territory, an area they had been in Asia Minor. They end up in Iconium and Lystra. And there they meet a young man by the name of Timothy. Timothy has a Jewish mother who is a believer in Jesus Christ and a follower of Jesus Christ, and a Greek or Gentile father. But everybody in the area knows him and speaks highly of Timothy. And they decide they will ask him to go with him. It's like they traded John Mark, hoping they could get a free agent down the road. And they did. Now, the interesting part was that since John Mark's father was a Greek, John Mark was not circumcised. Paul's operation was that he would go to a new town, he would find a synagogue, and they would begin to share the good news with them and the story of Jesus. With Jewish people there, if they knew that John Mark, who was sharing the gospel, was not circumcised, he himself might be a stumbling block to the gospel of Jesus Christ for those Jewish hearers. And so for the sake of the gospel, Timothy is circumcised. And so he knows the cost of the gospel. And he leaves in pain. But along that trip, as they go on and they make it to Philippi, and they go into Macedonia and Athens and further, Timothy gets to see what Paul will do for the sake of the gospel. Beatings, jail, persecution, stoning, all the things, anything you can think of, Paul endured. And he saw what the gospel of Jesus Christ meant to him. So you fast forward, and Paul writes this letter to him. And Paul begins that letter by saying, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength because he considered me faithful, so he appointed me to ministry." And then he shares with him his testimony. "I spoke against Jesus." Other translations say he did more than that. He was a blasphemer. Somewhere along the way, I'm thinking that somewhere after Paul was struck blind on his way to Damascus, remember that story? And he's blind for 3 days, and Ananias goes to his house, and he receives his sight again. Somewhere in there, he came to the realization that Jesus was who Jesus said he was. And he confessed his sinfulness. It could even be that Paul understood that Jesus was God. And in doing what he had done to believers of Jesus and followers of Jesus, and the way he went after persecuting Jesus, he had used the name of God in vain. I'm sure there was some pain in that. We also know that he did persecute followers of Jesus. He held the cloaks of those people who were stoning Stephen. He got approval from the religious authorities and the temple authorities to go to Damascus to arrest women and men and throw them into prison for being followers of Jesus. And in this version of the scripture it says, he did it in pride. John or Paul was somebody who was filled with pride. He had a singular focus. He was driven to the point where he was going to do what he thought was right, and it didn't matter who it hurt or even if people got killed. And he came to the realization how sinful he was and repented of those things. And he understood what it was like to be delivered from that guilt. And he shares this story. I've been haunted this week. I tell you about how I get haunted sometimes, the Holy Spirit moving or something. I thought, and this is what I thought this week. Well, you know, that's great of Paul. Paul says that he is the chiefest of all, the worst of all sinners. And I think, well, maybe not the worst of all sinners, but he's pretty bad. Right? He was basically an accomplice to a murder because they didn't agree with him. He went out of his way to harm people. He wasn't the best of all. And part of me wants to say, well, you know, I'm not quite that bad. And the people I associate with, you, y'all aren't that bad either, are you? I have not had to go to jail, down to DeKalb County Jail, and get you out for doing something against anybody. I don't know that you might have had a thought, but you didn't act upon it. Have you? We can have confession if you need it. And I think, okay, this story means something to somebody, but I don't know if it means it's relevant to my life and to your life. Because we're better than that, aren't we? Aren't we? Please say yes. And so I struggle. How does this story of his sinfulness relate to us? And so I've struggled this week. And then I started thinking. There are times in our lives where we are spread so thin that pride doesn't really affect us. Because I'm spread so thin, pride doesn't come out in my life. I'm spread so thin that if I prioritize my life and do 1, 2, 3 to 10, somewhere along the way, injustice doesn't make the top 10. I'm not concerned with injustice. I'm not concerned with social justice. I'm not concerned with how it doesn't affect me, because it doesn't affect me. I am haunted by what Benji Hollis said when he was here, the way he looked at other people's problems before his daughter got leukemia, when it said, "Not my child, not my problem." And when I think of it that way, maybe I am a sinner as bad as Paul thought he was. Because in our lives, we can get to the place where we are not concerned with other people's problems, other people's issues, the injustice of the world. Right? There are times in our lives when we choose not to speak. When do we ever get riled up when we hear of Christians being killed in other parts of the world? There are more Christians killed in a year in this century and the past century than were killed in the centuries coming up to that year. To that century. When we hear of people groups that are not bothering anybody, but people come to wipe them out, does that cause anything in us? Does it cause our blood pressure to rise just a little? Or when we see injustice locally, when we see bigotry and prejudice, are we just to the point where not my problem? And so then we wonder. You see, Paul understood who he was apart from Jesus Christ. And so, how do we make what Paul wrote to Timothy applicable to us? How does Timothy make it applicable to him? We make it applicable in that we all know that we are all sinners. And so he says this saying is reliable and deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And we might not be the biggest, but we are sinners. But this is why I was shown mercy, so that Christ Jesus could show his endless patience to me, first of all, so I am an example for those who are going to believe in him for eternal life. You see, we're supposed to live differently. We're supposed to care. We're supposed to care so much that people see it and hear it in our lives. When we hear people talk about other people, when we hear people gossip, when we hear people spreading things or talking about people, we need to be able to speak truth to people. We need to be able to stand up for the least, the last, the lost. Because if we don't stand up for them, we're just as bad as the people who do it. You see, Jesus wants to change us to the point where we understand that He died for us and we have been received mercy and we are to be an example to those who are going to believe in Him in the future. And Paul was grateful for that opportunity to the point where he sang a doxology. He realized what Jesus had done for him to be delivered from that sinfulness. And he could sing joyfully. He could sing joyfully and say, "Now to the King of the ages, to the immortal, invisible, and only God, may honor and glory be given to Him forever and always. Amen." What does our doxology sound like when we confess our sinfulness and we come face to face with the ways in which we fail to do the right thing? Let's pray. Lord God, convict us when we don't think our sins are as bad as they really are. Convict us when we don't lift up the low, the orphan, the widow, the bullied, the downcast, the hungry, the thirsty. Help us to speak truth to power, to speak truth to evil, to speak truth and love to the world. May we truly embrace the joy of our salvation so that those who will believe will be encouraged by us. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.